Brother Clay didn't make it, that I probably preached from a Schofield note. So anyway, Brother Clay, you come on and we'll listen to you very prayerfully.
You ever do that? Lose track of time?
Yeah.
I told Brother Lilly, I said, if you don't want me to preach tonight, because we've been out the last couple of weeks with traveling and sickness and different things, but he said, come on. So I appreciate him. I really do. I'm going to talk tonight about the gospel revealed. The gospel by revelation is what I guess I would want to call this. The gospel by revelation. I want to start in Romans chapter 16, very end of the book of Romans. Oh, by the way, a guy I called baseball with last night told me he likes our new sign. He said it looks good. I told him I went to church down here. He said, oh, yeah. He said he works down here at the lineman camp or he used to. He still comes down here sometime. He may, I think he's retired and just works part-time. But he said, yeah, they got a new sign down there. It looks good. So Byron did a good job. Romans 16. Brother Lilly will get to this verse maybe this time next year or something, since he's doing the Romans. In verse 25, this has become a controversial verse to some in some circles, and I think it's kind of misunderstood what Paul's saying here. And it's never a good idea just to pull one verse out totally out of context and try and build something totally on one verse. You know what I mean? Notice what Paul says here. He says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." So people want to say, see, Paul's preaching a different gospel that can't be found anywhere else. They say that's what it's saying right there. Now, but is that what he's really saying? Notice the next verse kind of clears it up a little bit. "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So Paul's saying the gospel is by revelation. Now he calls it my gospel. A lot of people make a big deal about that. Well, yeah, it's his gospel. It's my gospel. It's Brother Lilly's gospel. If you're saved, it's your gospel too, right? He's saying this is my good news that I've written to you 16 chapters worth. That's what he's saying. It's not a different gospel. Look, let's just take Paul's word for it. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture and see what he's talking about by the gospel, this revelation of the mystery. You know 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. He gives you a good summary of the gospel, just the basic, bare bones, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand." So he says, this is the gospel that I preach, right? "By which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So again, he's making reference to the Scriptures, right? This is something that's in the Old Testament Scriptures, right? But people didn't know it until it was revealed to them. It's revealed to us today by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus revealed it to the apostles, right? What did Peter say when Jesus first told him he was going to be crucified? He said, "Oh, be it no, not so, Lord." Peter rebuked him. But then what happened later on? Jesus opened his understanding. Peter didn't understand. The gospel was a mystery to him. Just because Paul uses the word mystery doesn't mean it's not in the Old Testament.
That's right.
It can be prophetic. Mm-hmm. People want to say it can't be both, but it is both, right?
Amen.
And notice, if you keep going in 1 Corinthians 15, look at the next verse. He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and of the 12. After that, he was seen of 500 brethren at once. The greatest part remaining to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Seen of James. So he gets a list of all these people. And now look in verse 11, he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. He's saying they preach the same gospel, right? Because there is only one gospel. The sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And let's take and look at what Paul told King Agrippa. And listen, folks, the reason why I'm so this kind of stuff bothers me, because I came out of this church that taught this kind of stuff. You know, they made such a big deal about Paul's apostleship, and that's good. He had a distinct apostleship. I'm not denying that. But when we make Paul having a different gospel, that causes problems and it causes division in the body of Christ, right? Notice what Paul says in Acts 26. Acts 26, late in the Acts period. Romans was written late in the Acts period, would you say? So probably written around the same time that Romans was written. He's speaking to King Agrippa. And in verse 22, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than that which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So now he's referring to Genesis, Exodus, the writings of Moses, right? That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. So again, he's saying that the gospel he preached is from the Old Testament. It's not a new, made-up thing. I heard a man say that Christ was the first to reveal the gospel of grace to Paul, and it's a different thing. No, that's not right. That's a hyper view, right? It's extreme view. Notice, if you will, in Luke 24 now, we see the gospel that Paul preached, right? Now, I ask people that claim that it's a different gospel to explain to me how it's different than what Christ reveals here to the apostles, and they can't answer me. Or they just kind of dance around it. Luke 24, starting in verse 44. Now tell me if this sounds like what we've just read in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Acts 26. Luke 24, 44. This is Christ speaking to the apostles, right? And he, Christ, said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, there's Moses again, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Think about how much Christ is in the Psalms.
Yes.
Think about the Psalm talks about when he was on the cross, what he was going through. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. See, they had to have their understanding open. We all have to have our understanding open, right? Through the Holy Spirit. We can't understand this book without the Holy Spirit. I can't. I mean, there's certain things we can get in here and understand, but you can't really understand everything. You can't understand what it's actually saying, the meaning of everything, without the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we can read in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and, you know, a person can say, okay, well, that says God created heaven and earth. But to really understand what this book is saying, we got to have the Holy Spirit open our understanding. And this is what Jesus does here. He opens our understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. That means it's good news for y'all. If it behooves you, that means that's, if I do Brother Ronnie a favor, that's behooving him, right? That's what, we don't use that language today, but it would behoove, you know. If I knew how to work on a car, and he needed to work on that old, did you sell that Chevrolet, or you still got it? Well, if I knew how to work on cars, which I don't, I can change the oil, put gas in it, that's about it. But if he needed, he said, man, I gotta get this transmission fixed, or I can't sell this thing. Well, if I came and fixed the transmission, it would behoove him that I did that, you know? We don't use that kind of language today, but that's what that means. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So how is that different? It seems identical to me, right? All right. So what scriptures could they be referring to? The most obvious is Isaiah 53. Let's just turn over there. I love Isaiah 53. And this is quoted, the first verse is quoted in the book of Acts, I believe, isn't it? In Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is speaking of the Lord. He wasn't walking around and glowing. He was a normal man, right? He didn't draw attention to himself by some physical appearance, right? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What happened when they took him prisoner? What did all the apostles do except for John? They scattered, right? What would we have done? Probably the same thing, right? Come on, we're... Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know the Bible says, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he was cursed. He became a curse for us, right? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And Peter quotes this in 2 Peter, I believe. And he says, by his stripes you are healed. Past tense. It's a spiritual healing, right? Yeah. People want to use that and say, by his stripes you're healed. And to try and say, you know, you won't get a disease or something. But it's not a physical thing, right? So Peter says, by his stripes we are healed. When you get saved, you're healed, right? You're healed of the worst disease that ever was. It's sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Don't you love how the New Testament opens up what the Old Testament... It's the Old Testament revealed when you go to the New Testament, right? I think Spurgeon said that. I can't take credit for it. But it's true.
Yes.
The New Testament reveals the Old Testament. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Remember? We read that in the Gospels, don't we? He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Who was reading that in Acts chapter 8? Y'all remember? The Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading this very passage, wasn't he? And what did Philip do to him? Preached Jesus to him, right?
That's right.
And he understood. He said, how will I know this unless somebody teach me? Philip went to him and asked him. He said, do you understand what you're reading? Now, what if I walked up to Brother Louis and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading there? You know what I mean? But that eunuch, that eunuch needed the help, didn't he? Amen. The Holy Spirit was telling Philip to go talk to that man. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit when He's telling us to go do that. Amen. I have opportunities all the time, and I'm terrible at it. You have so many opportunities to talk to somebody about the Lord, you know? Just anything. If the Lord's telling you to talk to somebody, hey, it's going to work. It'll be all right, won't it? What's the worst that can happen? They'll say, I don't want to talk, you know? They ain't going, come on, folks. I'm talking to myself. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that one sacrifice for sins forever, right? Hebrews 10. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Amen. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Right? They're on either side of him. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He died for those men that was crucified beside him, didn't he? One of them turned to Christ, one of them turned away. That's how it is with everybody, every man. Every man has a choice. Are you going to turn to Christ or are you going to turn away, right? I believe every man gets a choice, right? I'm not a Calvinist. I believe every man gets a choice. God knows what somebody's going to choose. Like, okay, I'll go with them on that. But I believe everybody makes a choice. Amen? I don't believe that there's people that never had a chance, basically is what I'm saying. God knows. He has foreknowledge. There's a difference between foreknowledge and somebody just never ever having a chance. I believe that we can argue about stuff like that. Me and Brother Earl argue about it after church. No, I'm just kidding. It's called discussion, ain't it, brother? Brotherly debate. I'm just kidding. I like debating. I like talking about the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Look what Peter preached in Acts 2. One of the first church messages, right? And he does this very thing. And a very practical message that Peter preaches in Acts 2, right? You know I love you, brother. Acts 2, Peter in verse 22, he preaches such a practical message. Just uses common sense for these people, right? Paul does the same thing in Athens, right? Just, it's a very practical. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. They saw the miracles. They knew what he did. He fed 5,000 people, folks. He's saying you saw this. See how practical Peter is? As ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now he begins to talk about David and shows them that how David was really writing about Christ. It makes it seem like they thought David was writing about himself, but Peter shows them that he was really writing about Christ, right? For David speaking concerning him, concerning Christ, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. In hell there as not burning, torture, right? Okay, some people say that. I don't believe Jesus burned in hell, do y'all?
No.
That's crazy. And I don't believe David burned in hell, you know. That means Sheol, the grave, right? Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. He's saying, see, David's, his tomb's right there, and he's sitting there. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this, David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So he's saying David, right? David in the Psalms is speaking of Christ, right? This Jesus, the Jesus you knew, the Jesus you persecuted, crucified, that did all the miracles. You know, Peter knew who Peter was talking about, right? This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted by the right hand of God, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself. And here's one of the most popular songs in the New Testament, right? The Lord said unto my Lord, God said unto Jesus, right? Sit thou on thy right hand until thy foes be made thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, that's who Peter was speaking to, right, know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ, right? He's Lord, he's King, he's Christ, he's the Savior. That's what Peter is preaching to him, right? And he showed him using David as an example. Who is a better example, except for maybe Abraham, for Peter to use to those Jews, right? Would be David, right? So very practical and open and showing, using the Old Testament to shine light upon the new, right? Look at what Paul told young Timothy. I got a couple more verses and then we'll get to prayer time, okay? I love what Paul tells young Timothy here. You know, Timothy, was he raised by his grandmother and, do I have that wrong? Timothy? Lois, yeah, Lois. Yeah. That's what I thought. Look what Paul says about him here. In verse 14, 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. He's talking about the things you've learned throughout your life. Here in verse 15 says that, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he's talking about not just what I've told you, but what your grandmother's taught you. Right? Because look here. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Hey, it's important to teach our children the Scripture, right? Amen. If we don't tell them the Scripture, the world's going to tell them a bunch of junk, right? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament Scriptures. Had to be, right? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus sums it up perfectly in John 5. He told him in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are them which testify of me. So to me, what Paul's saying there in Romans 16 about the revelation of the mystery is we now know what these Old Testament Scriptures are talking about. We know that the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel is there. And now that through the Holy Spirit, through the completion of Scripture, they didn't have it, obviously, when Paul jotted that down, but he had more revelation, right? The Bible reveals it, progressive revelation, right, Brother Lily? It builds upon itself, right? So, anyways, we preach Jesus, according to everything we know about him now, right? We don't just go and say, you know, you ever heard somebody say, you know, Jesus told them, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom. They say, so you got to be righteous. You ever heard somebody pull that verse out of context and say, see, you got to be righteous. Well, what does Paul tell us in Romans 4? How do we get righteous? We get imputed righteousness from God. We get God's imputed righteousness. That's what Jesus was talking about there, right? But now, so we take all Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture, right? Through the revelation revealed in His Word and by the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. Okay. That's all I have for y'all. And I appreciate your time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. My, he about wore my Schofield out, running back and forth. But I liked it. I tried to follow. I tried to keep up. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Brother Clay. That was a blessing to us all. Well, did everyone get your prayer bulletin?